Welcome back to Earth Matters here on KURU 89.1 FM in Silver City and KTAL LP in Las Cruces. I'm Donna Stevens, the Executive Director of the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance, and I'm here with Earth Matters co-host, Allison Civic. Before the break, we were talking about some of the victories we had in 2021 and some of the issues that we work on together. And one of those issues is the Gila diversion, which we talked about. And I want to ask you, Allison, opposing the diversion is one of the reasons that, well, I guess the reason that Gila Conservation Coalition was started in the first place. So now that the diversion is dead, at least for now, what does the Gila Conservation Coalition plan to do in 2022?
Yeah, well, I mean, people remember we were formed originally in 1984 by Dutch Salmon and Herbie Marsden and others way back when to fight the Conner Dam and the Mongoose diversion and then this most recent diversion. And yes, now that that's off the table, it's great, but we still need to continue on our mission to protect the free flow of the Gila and San Francisco rivers. And so there's, as we mentioned before the break, there's $91 million in the New Mexico Unit Fund, and definitely irrigators are hoping to get a piece of that pie to upgrade diversion structures. And, you know, we need to make sure that, you know, any kind of, you know, irrigation improvements are not ecologically harmful. We also are very, very worried. I mean, the climate predictions are really dire for this region. And so we're going to be working on water supply resilience. So that's going to continue. There's a hydro dam proposed for the San Francisco River. So, you know, all these issues have the potential to impact the Gila's free flow. And then the other thing is we want to secure in-stream flow or base flow for the Gila, right? Because if you don't have water in the river, you don't have a river, right?
Right.
So we don't want the Gila to be, you know, the Rio Grande. So, you know, making sure that, you know, we've got some dedicated in-stream flow to the Gila is another big priority moving forward. And that's going to be tough under, you know, the terrible climate predictions.
That's right. Yeah. And speaking of Gila River, the next thing I wanted to ask you about is the Gila River Festival. So you and I and a dedicated planning committee all collaborate on this event each year. And we hosted another successful event this year, not to brag about that. Can you talk about some of the highlights of the 2021 Gila River Festival?
Sure. So, you know, we celebrated our connection to the Gila and the Gila watershed in September. We were sort of welcoming people back after, you know, the pandemic, although I'm sorry to say we're still in the middle of a pandemic. We had a hybrid event with 3 online presentations, but we had COVID safe, like over 20 COVID safe workshops and field trips. And, you know, over 200 people participated in those field trips. So it was super successful. And our presentations are all online. So if people want to check those out, they can go to the Gila River Festival website at gilariverfestival.org. And there's a link right there to get to the Vimeo page and you can watch the presentations. And also we did a gathering at the river with the Borderlands Ballet and readings with former Silver City Poet Laureate Eve West Bessier and J.J. Amawaro Wilson and more. And it was just really lovely. And we recorded that. So that video's up as well. So if people weren't able to make it out to the river, they can see that.
Great. And without giving away too much, can you tell us briefly what's planned for the 2022 Gila River Festival?
Gosh, Donna, I wish I knew. I mean, it'll be the 18th annual Gila River Festival. So we're thinking it'll be it's always the third weekend of September, which is September 16th through the 18th. We have no idea, depending upon what happens with COVID, if it's going to be a hybrid event again. We don't know. And we invite folks who would like to help us figure out what we're going to do for this year's festival, come to our Gila River Festival Planning Committee kickoff meeting, which is Thursday, January 13th at 10 o'clock. And that's going to be online. So just contact us at GilaRiverFest@gmail.com if you'd like the Zoom link, and you can get plugged in and help us figure it out.
Okay, that sounds great. So Allison, I'm going to turn over the interviewer role to you, and you can ask me questions about some of the work that UGWA did in 2021.
Great. Thanks, Donna. Sure. So yes, so now that I am the interviewer, I'm going to ask you about your work at the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance in 2021. And maybe we could just start out, Donna, give me maybe some of the highlights of your work this year.
Yeah, that's kind of a big question because, as usual, it was a busy year. But in general, I like to think of UGWA's work as being divided into three main categories. So there's advocacy, which we've already talked about a little bit, the Gila River diversion issue, the Air Force flyovers, education, and restoration. So we've already talked about the advocacy work. We talked about House Bill 200, which ended the diversion. And another long-term advocacy project that UGWA and other groups have worked on for years now is the Gila National Forest's revised management plan. So the plan is important because what it does is guide the forest's policies, decisions, and projects for at least the next 10 to 15 years. So, for instance, the so-called current forest plan that they're using right now is from 1986. So if you think about how much has changed in that time, it's really kind of amazing that the forest is still using this really outdated and irrelevant plan. And of course, it doesn't have one word in it about protecting the forest from the current and future impacts of climate change, because not very many people were aware of climate change in the mid-80s. And even if they were aware of it, they didn't realize that things were going to get so bad, change so dramatically, so quickly. So what our coalition of groups and concerned individuals is looking for is trying to make sure that there's greater protection of streams and watersheds in the forest, wildlife habitat, protecting riparian areas from the impacts of livestock, and much more. So we want to make sure that the Forest Service is really serious about protecting the forest so that it can withstand the ravages of a changing climate. And, you know, of course, we acknowledge that this is a difficult thing to do because in some ways they're trying to predict the future, right? But, I mean, climate change isn't just in the future. It's already happening now, as we know. So the Forest Service can already look to the evidence of changes that we're seeing, like long-term drought, extreme weather events, really huge wildfires, species that are migrating farther north or to higher elevations. And these are just a few. I mean, for me, I always think the bottom line is that it is the Forest Service's responsibility to protect the forest. So business as usual just really isn't going to work anymore. And we're going to talk about some education and restoration projects in a few minutes, but I really just wanted to emphasize that, as you know really well, Allison, some of these advocacy issues go on for years. People get fatigued. They want to move on to an issue that seems sexier or is at least new and different. But really, the only way to win some of these battles is to stay committed and to just slog through the work, keep attending all the meetings, read the reports, write the comments, and not give up. So that's what we've had to do because, you know, we live here and we love this place. And like you said earlier, it was really with the support of loads of many local people and foundations people who donated money to keep us going on our work.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, thank you to everybody again. That's what allows people to dedicate their time to protection efforts. And, you know, we've talked a little bit about the pandemic, and here we are almost 2 years into the pandemic. How did the pandemic affect UGWA's work this year, Donna?
Yeah, well, you know, I feel like everybody else that I was pretty encouraged in the spring and the early summer when people were getting vaccinated. And then, as everybody already knows, the Delta variant came along and things got bad again. So I feel like the pandemic really affected UGWA's education work the most. So my colleague, Carol Ann Fugali, is very passionate about environmental education, getting kids outdoors, teaching about local ecology, and also helping kids to learn about and deal with climate change. For the second year in a row, she had to cancel the Children's Water Festival, which is a really wonderful event that gets fifth graders from Silver City and Cobre schools out to the river, out to the Gila River. And the kids have so much fun playing in the river. And, you know, while they're having fun, we kind of slip in information about aquatic insects, different features of the river, like riffles and pools. Kids learn about local birds and insects and plants and other really cool stuff. And amazingly, lots of these kids have never been to the Gila River before, even though they live right here, very close. But we weren't able to do the Children's Water Festival in 2020 or 2021 because of the pandemic. So what Carol Ann had to do really is be creative and get busy with other stuff. So in the summer of 2021, she hosted a 5-day eco camp along the Gila River, and that was for a small group of middle and high school students. They learned about river ecology and some of the critters that live along the river, wildlife tracking, organic farming, visited an organic farm in the valley. They learned primitive skills like starting fires without using matches or a lighter. And again, they talked about climate change and how to handle their feelings around that, like the grief and anxiety and anger that arise when these young people finally realize that they're facing a future that looks pretty challenging, to say the least.
Yes, absolutely. And you guys also did, you talking about restoration, a lot of tamarisk removal work on the Gila River, right? I mean, you guys are trying to stay ahead of the tamarisk getting out of control, like in lower reaches of the Gila and the Rio Grande and other rivers that have been highly altered.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So UGWA's been doing tamarisk eradication work since 2016. Tamarisk is also called salt cedar, and it's an invasive tree from Eurasia. It grows along rivers and streams in the Southwest and does really well, but it's a problem because it can choke out the native willows and cottonwoods and other trees that provide habitat for birds and other wildlife and that help to hold riverbanks and soils in place during floods. So I think what's important is for people to realize that the ecosystems have evolved over hundreds of thousands of years, and plants and animals have grown to depend on each other. And if we remove a part of the whole, things start to unravel. So there's places like you mentioned, the Rio Grande and the Gila River in Arizona, where there's really a monocrop of tamarisk, and it's really an issue. So like you said, we're trying to stay ahead of it. And fortunately, the tamarisk problem isn't very bad on the Gila River in New Mexico right now, which makes this a perfect time to get rid of the tamarisk while it's still relatively easy and cheap. And one of the reasons that it isn't that bad here right now is that the river is pretty healthy and intact, and it's still allowed to flood and have a highly variable amount of water in it during different times of the year, as it has for millennia. And the riparian trees and shrubs are adapted to those variable flows, and tamarisk really flourishes in degraded and dewatered rivers.
Right. Yeah. Just go to Safford and it's a no cottonwoods. It's all tamarisk. It's terrible.
Yes.
Along the Gila. So super degraded down there. Well, thank you for all that work. That's a lot of work to go out there and stay on top of that problem. So we are going to take a very short break and we'll be back on Earth Matters here on Gila Members Community Radio and Las Cruces Community Radio. Please stay tuned.